This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Always fun to talk to Porter Moser. We have taken him in our bracket. We're getting the three-peat out immediately.
Yeah. Go away, UConn.
And he joins us. Porter, good morning. How are you?
Man, boys, Molly and David, good to hear from you guys. And you're the only media people in the country that picked the Sooners, first of all.
How did you handle that and get them to believe that this was possible?
Leadership is a transfer of belief. And that's been a foundation to me, of creating a vision. And we did that at Loyola. And that's what, I swear to God, our guys probably thought I was Groundhog Day, Bill Murray hitting the alarm clock every morning.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill around. I got you,
man. Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Last time I was an 8-9 seat, I got on The Score radio with these guys, and all they wanted to talk about was the second matchup between Illinois and
yep. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Should have asked him more questions about Florida.
Morning, Mully. Yeah, Porter Moser has a chance tonight to get a shot at Florida, presumably. Yesterday, a lot of action. A pretty good first day overall.
I don't know about that.
It was, well, there's some drama. The blowouts were there.
I don't mean the games. I mean my physical condition.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From my eyes bucking out of my head. I mean, holy God, did I watch a lot of basketball yesterday?
Yeah, everybody did, and I think that was fun from 11:30, whenever the first tip-off was, until however late you stayed up to watch. I went down with St. John's, started to take control comfortably, and Rick Pitino advanced. So that's a fun matchup in the second round. It's going to be against John Calipari and Rick Pitino.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It's great.
It's fun.
Great. Yeah, you could pick a game, any game, and you could defend why you were interested in it because there's always something going on. It's somebody's last game of the season.
That's a good way to put it.
And somebody's last, a lot of people's last games of their careers.
Wow.
So there's always a lot of drama, and it certainly delivers. It always delivers the NCAA tournament.
I had a very restless night after watching Michigan. Holy cow. I mean, I really thought I was going to lose a Final Four team. And it's just too early to do that. Mercifully, I didn't have Clemson.
12-5 matchup, UC San Diego. Gave them all they could handle.
Clark Kellogg had them in the Clemson in the Final Four.
That would be
wouldn't that stink?
Bad day.
That would stink.
It kind of would be tough when your lead analyst.
Well, the problem is
picks the Final Four team that goes out on the first day.
Like, I don't know that everyone was picking them in the Final Four. You know what I mean? Like if a team goes out, like if Duke goes out to Mount St. Mary's, I think everybody loses, right? I think that's going to impact a lot of brackets. But when you're out on a limb with a team and they fall apart on you, yikes.
Yeah, it seems a little, the thud is a little louder.
Yes.
Yes.
And everyone's there to hear it.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
And they will remind you of it throughout the tournament, because yesterday was as much about having fun and watching basketball as it was about brackets getting busted everywhere.
I mean, it was so much fun yesterday. It's such a great sports day. Today, another great sports day. The weekend, I mean, the opening weekend of the tournament is the greatest. It's just loads of laughs.
Wall-to-wall drama. Never know what you're going to watch.
You know, it's hard because I don't know. Do I have to start watching the look-in? Because I'm moving from game to game, and I feel like I'm not seeing enough of certain games. You know what I mean? Like, I see something happen, and I immediately switch over. And then I lose what I was watching. So I watched the Drake game.
You got to make some decisions. About what you're going to stay with and why.
Yep.
But you can also multitask by paying attention to the crawl. And then maybe you might have a couple screens going. Depends on your devices. Depends on what you're doing.
You're right.
A lot of people went to work and probably regretted it. But they found a way to follow. And everybody's got their own method. It whatever works for you. A method to the March Madness.
Yeah.
You got to find it.
I mean, you have to constantly be recording and going back. Well, I can't watch just the recap part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't just watch the look-in or whatever they call that.
Uh-huh.
Because I need to kind of watch everything.
You need context?
I need Elvis's TV situation. I need three of them sitting there.
Well, last night was very confusing.
A couple devices.
Because you had the March Madness, which I think was on most people's minds and certainly captivated everybody. But if you were still interested in the Bulls and to a lesser degree the Blackhawks, it was all going on all at once.
Yeah. Yeah.
All going on.
There was a lot
happening. At one point in time, they were all the games overlapping. No, the Bulls, boy.
Wow.
They go out to Sacramento.
Break up the Bulls.
Sacktown, they beat Zach and DeMar, and they take care of business out there. The Kevin Herter revenge game with Kobe White going wild. And that was fun to flip around and watch. I didn't spend a lot of time with the Bulls because of what you just said.
No,
we're trying to figure out and catch up with all the games in March Madness we missed.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's difficult, but these are good problems to have.
Biggest upset of the day, probably Clemson.
Oh, my gosh.
Going down to McNeese State.
Did not see that one coming. Clemson, not a good idea to show up at halftime. I mean, what was that? What was the first half of that game? Holy guacamole. And then they ended up losing by 2 points, right? But they got routed in the first half of that game.
Bad day for the ACC.
Wow.
Yeah, not a good day for the ACC. And as you mentioned, if you pick Clemson to go deep in the tournament, Will Wade is the bell of the ball, I suppose. And
you don't like that storyline, do you?
I really don't. Yeah. I don't know why, but it just kind of bothers me. I know it's the era of the NIL, and players do it all the time, and I think coaches should set a little better example, because Will Wade is already talking about being the next head coach at North Carolina State, and he answered questions about that job decision and choice after his current program's biggest victory in maybe their program history.
The Cubs are back in Arizona, and they're going to play here on the Score. I just was worried because I saw the plane land for L.A., but I was still like, hey,
let's go to Cubs.
Did the Cubs land? I know how peeved you are with the
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, Cubs, they land yet? They're back. They got the back. What are they doing this weekend? They got three games?
They got a lot of games. There's going to be baseball. Don't forget about the Ramblers. You got to watch more basketball. David, you'll be quizzed on the Ramblers. They play Sunday.
All right, focus here.
Ramblers.
Focus, okay. Boom, right in front of you.
Oh, my goodness. So much sports.
So much sports, yeah.
It's almost an embarrassment of riches. How are we going to live our lives?
Well, it's the weekend, so you know, it's the beauty of the tournament. You have everything to choose from. What do you think you're going to watch tonight? The Sox?
No. I can guarantee you that's the one thing I won't be watching. Not going to watch the White Sox. I probably will go home and watch a lot of tournament games. I'm going to kind of follow. Although I have tickets to a concert tonight, so I don't know how I'm going to work everything in, but I will. I'll get it all done.
Good day for the Big Ten. Purdue, Wisconsin.
Purdue was good.
UCLA, they count in the Big Ten. I don't really like counting them as a Big Ten team, but they are. And Michigan, as you said, held on. So the Big Ten has to feel pretty good about their first day. Purdue is a team that I think is as many teams in this tournament, they're a testament to their coaching and player development. You don't see that as much anymore. We talked about Braden Smith going from a guy
right.
who was a big question mark on this team when he first came into the program because of the shakiness of the backcourt. They had Zach Edey and all those things. Now he's an All-American, and you saw right. yesterday why.
Good player, man.
Good player, great floor game. And in the tournament, you always want to have those experienced guards and a coach that you trust, and Purdue has both.
You must have been really deflated that your Yale went down.
See, now, I didn't have Yale. You guys were the Yaleys. You guys were the Yaleys. I was not the Yale guy.
That was disappointing. There were certain teams that we were just
But that was a good game, at least. I mean,
I know,
right? I mean, it was a battle. It was a battle.
They were down 10 the whole game, and they could never trim it. It was tough.
Yeah, I didn't watch too much of that one. I thought that was pretty much
too much of it.
Fait accompli. It seemed like it was
Yeah, it was over.
It was over. Creighton plays a good brand of basketball. They're well coached. McDermott does a nice job. Greg McDermott's a very good basketball coach.
I had them, and we talked to Joe yesterday, and he was all over Louisville. And I was kind of like, oh, man, like, did I make a mistake here? Because it was a home game, right down to the fact that somebody threw a bottle of water on the court.
That was an ugly incident.
That was terrible.
Yep.
That could have hurt somebody. It was stupid. And I hope they threw the guy out.
Louisville coach went a little berserk there before that happened.
Berserk.
Yeah, that was a bit nuts.
That was insane.
That was a bad moment. That was definitely a bad moment for the tournament.
Yep. From that moment on, I just really wanted Creighton to win, right? I mean, I kind of wanted him to win anyway since I picked them. But that really triggered me. You're going to throw a wobbler in the middle of a game like that? It was just dumb.
You know, watching Greg McDermott made me harken back to when Doug McDermott was a member of the Bulls. Doug McDermott was on the bench for the Sacramento Kings last night.
Was he really?
Yeah, how about that?
Still amazing. I mean, he has been
still in the league.
He has been collecting NBA checks for a long. I can't even. I don't even want to look up like his career NBA earnings.
He's 33 years old.
Right. I mean, it's not old, but it's kind of NBA old, right?
Yeah. It's maybe NBA old. Is that how old? How old's JJ Redick? See, I mean, he looks like a guy that's kind of headed down that path. You know, the J.J. Redick path.
A future NBA
coach. Future NBA coach.
Well, maybe he takes over for his dad at Creighton.
I don't know.
If Creighton can shoot the ball like they did yesterday, look out. Seriously, look out. Yeah. Like they could, you know, they could make a little bit of a run here.
Think they could beat Auburn?
If they shoot like they did yesterday, yes, I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't looked at the spread on that game yet.
I don't disagree with that. I think it's a good call,
that's
Dustin.
That's a 6-10 game tomorrow. I mean, there are some Saturday. Here's the thing. While you might be disappointed about the lack of upsets and buzzer beaters yesterday, I mean, Saturday there are some really attractive basketball games. I mean, I am pumped about Saturday.
Which one suits your fancy? Which one?
If I could only watch one. If I could only watch one, honestly, it's probably Gonzaga-Houston.
Really?
That
would not have been my first three.
But here's why. It's because I think that's your best shot at a number one going down. And that's why that could be the bracket buster. We haven't had a bracket, but I mean, you know, Clark Kellogg in my brackets might be busted.
Hold on a second, though. You just talked about how Creighton, if they shoot it, can beat Auburn.
I think Creighton
probably has a better chance of beating Auburn than Gonzaga does of beating Houston.
Well, here's the best part of it. You can watch all of Creighton Auburn and then watch all of the way they've got it spread out, and you can watch all of Gonzaga and Houston.
The best game Saturday is Arkansas St. John's.
I don't disagree with that. That's another one where it's a bracket buster.
Well, that is also just...
That would be my second choice. You
know, drama.
Fun.
Be
my second
fun
drama.
Couple coaches totally. Matched up. Doug McDermott, to close the loop, career earnings total, $73,936,434.
It's a good career. It's a very good career.
Just under 75.
Former Bull.
And I thought it was going to be, honestly, the way the NBA pay, I thought it was going to be closer to 80. So good for him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how long did Juwan Howard play? He played till he was
He almost
40.
Played 20
but
years.
I think if you're doing a great job on the Google machine there, Mully, I think Juwan Howard was one of the first.
Congratulations.
He was one of the first $100 million contract guys.
Yes.
Juwan
Howard. But he also played like
forever.
Well into his 50s.
Where's he this weekend?
What?
Probably watching Michigan because his son plays.
$149 million.
His son's on the team. He's the classy years. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Classy, though, guy that he is, he showed up for senior day at Michigan when they introduced his son, and here he is, the
ex-coach.
Disposed coach whose team is clearly better off this year without him coaching it, and he showed up anyway. Good for him.
Good for him to show up, and I think basically by showing up, admitting that, you know what? I screwed up.
I don't think that's admitting that.
I don't think that's admitting.
That's admitting I'm proud of my kid.
No, that's it.
I love my kid. I'm proud of my kid. I support my kid.
I am a Michigan man. And
I'm a Michigan man.
That's a good thing.
He bleeds maize and blue.
Don't turn it into something about his failure.
This is on me.
Yeah.
No, he's admitting. If he thought it was about them and he was mistreated, I don't think he would have showed up.
Yeah, I think he showed up for his kid.
That's the conclusion I would have reached. And who wouldn't show up for their kid? Which of us?
Oh, now I'm a bad parent. Okay.
No, I never said that. I think you'd show up for your kid.
Michigan plays good brand basketball, though. I think that's going to be a tough one, though, for Texas A&M. They're athletic. You know, they're well coached, too.
Well coached.
Yeah, that's
I'm a
thing.
Big fan of him. He Buzz Williams is a good
Buzz coach. Williams and Dusty May on Saturday. That's what you see. In that bracket, those four teams, back to back to back to back, are as well coached as any in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying. There's some really good, some really good matchups. And we all have a different one maybe that we like more than the other. But, I mean, BYU-Wisconsin, that could be a really interesting game as well. BYU is
BYU
tough.
Was
they play
so
tough.
Good. I couldn't believe it.
I love the crowd shot of Jimmer Fredette. He's a name that you remember from the tournament. Jimmer Fredette.
Still out there getting buckets.
He is, isn't he? Where is he? Like China?
China.
Is he really? Wow.
Took the Steph Marbury plan. Yeah, he's still hitting it from all over the place, I'm sure. I wonder what Jimmer Fredette is averaging in China. But yeah, that was cool. BYU's more talented than I think people realize. They've got they got some good depth. So BYU wins.
Yep.
And it was a fun day. Today will be better. I think today will be better. You'll see some more. Buzzer beaters.
Do you think you'll see more upsets?
A little
today?
More drama, maybe a couple upsets.
Yeah.
I think Akron over Arizona is one to keep an eye on. Talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, Arizona.
Hate to say it, but boy, Xavier 11-6. If you're looking for a double digit seed.
See, I this is strange, but I came out of watching the Big Ten survive in advance. I came out of that feeling like Illinois is going to be okay. That's the first time I've really felt that way. So I'm probably wrong. But I did come out thinking, okay, Illinois is going to be okay after watching, you know, Michigan survive and Wisconsin looking good. And just
well, it'd be good for us. Be good for Chicago. Be good for the state of Illinois and this program. They need to come out and be consistent. Let's hope they can beat Xavier that's coming in hot with a lot of confidence. And they may be looking at a head coach who has his eyes perhaps elsewhere, as the rumor mill churns, Sean Miller. Texas, hearing things. Never know.
That makes sense.
Never know.
Yeah, he's been elsewhere, and he's done well before. So,
and also, double-digit seed today, North Carolina. The irony would be the ACC stunk yesterday, and North Carolina, who should not be there by many people's account, could carry the flag and into the Sweet 16.
The legitimacy tour continues.
They're favored, by the way.
How many?
Ole Miss.
They're favored.
How many SEC teams went down? They took some knocks. Georgia lost, right? Like, pretty convincingly. Obviously.
Missouri.
Yeah. We talked
two.
About
Missouri. I think Georgia and Missouri were your two yesterday.
No, I think there were more. Yeah. Look at this. But I think somebody else went out. There was another big one.
Georgia was the one I didn't expect to happen. I thought they would play better against Gonzaga. And then I saw the statistic about Gonzaga's record in the first round and
Arkansas
second round.
Survived, yeah.
And I thought, what was I thinking? Never
two.
Bet against two. The Zags.
Two is against them.
Yeah, two in the SEC went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still two.
More today.
That's still surprising.
You're right. You were right.
No, I wasn't right. I thought there were more.
It seems like every team's from the SEC, that's all. The conference
Maybe
is so
that's
big.
What it is.
But they got thumped by the team that I'm telling you. Watch out. Gonzaga throttled them.
Throttled.
I mean, absolutely
yes.
throttled them. And that's why I'm saying, hey, look out, number one for Gonzaga.
Yeah, the Zags are not to be underestimated in March. Should have realized that. Should have remembered that.
I think, too, with it, Gonzaga always has, like, that NBA prospect. I don't think they got it this year.
They don't.
So I kind of forgot about them.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I do my brackets. I go off the prospects.
Yeah.
Who's
Mark
the star?
Few.
The chosen few.
Yeah.
He's a great coach.
No 7-5 guys this year.
Where's Chet at?
Is that kid from Florida going to play?
I don't know that he plays.
He doesn't really play. Unless they blow him out.
But the Gonzaga connection is, remember a few years back, Lombard West had the fantastic team?
Yes.
So their arguably biggest star who went to the biggest school, Brendan Huff, he had 18 yesterday, and he's a Lombard West kid.
I love those local connections.
Tall kid, 8 for 11 from field goal. This is a 6'10", 250-pounder from Glen Ellen. He's a sophomore, had a great game. So that's like a local guy making good, somebody to keep an eye on.
That's good to keep an eye on, yeah. Also, from a local perspective, I wonder how many people, as our 708 texter is saying, are driving to Milwaukee to see Illinois play tonight.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You can do that. That's an easy drive.
Right.
Probably going to be a fun night. It's going to be a late night if you do that. Probably 8:45 tip.
8:45-ish tip. I'm looking forward to that game.
You might want to stay over.
Well, the Kentucky coach, Mark Pope, he offered to pay for Kentucky fans' gas.
He said, yeah, but he needs gas money.
Gas money.
Let me know. I'll regret it. Yeah. I wonder how many people did contact him. Venmo or
Sell? I'm sure there were people from all over the country contacting him.
I love you guys.
I genuinely need gas money. It's nothing to do with going to your game.
Isn't he the guy that when he got the job made that funny video?
Did make a funny video. Yep.
C-A-T-S! Cats! Cats! Cats!
Wow. Look at Brandon. He's got it right in his fingers.
You got to love that stuff, though.
That's pretty cool.
That's college basketball.
Yeah, that's what it's about.
Yeah, but you know what? It'd be okay with me if Troy beats Kentucky and then ends the Pope's reign, if you will. Mark Pope's.
Yeah. Yeah, hold
just,
on now.
Just in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah, I mean.
Mark Pope's.
I mean, the guy
easy,
just got off the machine,
easy,
for God's
big fella.
Sake. What
easy,
are you doing?
Easy. I said Mark Pope.
Let's end the Pope's reign. Oh, my God. That was a little too close
for comfort.
No,
you know what I meant.
That poor guy's been unwell.
No.
The pneumonia knocked him down. Lay off.
That would be good for the Illinois, though. The key to Illinois tonight is his...
Hope we're to shuffle off this mortal coil.
No. The Illini have to hit the three.
Yeah.
They have to hit the three.
Yeah.
And they can't just rely on their offensive rebounding and defense. Somebody needs to get hot.
Well, their NBA top 10 pick needs to play like an NBA top 10 pick tonight.
Yakachonis?
That's what really needs to happen.
Yakachonis needs to step forward,
He can't have like a 12-point game.
He's like, 19, though?
He's got to be 20-plus.
19 years old?
20-plus tonight.
Okay. He's a talented 19-year-old.
Can't pull a Max LaVine and score 8.
Matas could beat him one-on-one.
Congratulations, Dustin. You waited 22 minutes to take a shot at Zach LaVine for being in single digits last night.
Well, you must not have been listening between 5 and 5:30.
Yeah.
I know. I heard that. Yeah. I'm sorry. I met with in our company.
Yeah.
Because I was disappointed. I'm glad the Bulls won, But I thought Zach was going to go off. I thought he was going to.
That just shows you everything you need to know about the guy. Everything. Oh. 33 minutes, max player scores 8 points. I mean, give me a break.
The guy like talks about his love of Chicago and how he'll always be accountable
classy.
To the team. Couldn't have been classier.
He didn't say anything about the losing and all the stuff that didn't happen.
No.
And he lives in the hotel that the Bulls were at. Because his family's living elsewhere. So he's living in a hotel while he's in Sacramento. And he and Billy Donovan ran into each other, and they had a lengthy conversation. Okay.
Why are you skeptical about that?
Yeah.
I'm skeptical about the – I still think that Zach never forgave Billy for benching him down in Disney World.
Well, they were both consummate pros about it, though.
Of course they were.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they talked about.
We good now? Yeah.
All right, we got the pick six next. We're going to get to all the stories of the day. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your reaction to McNeese State-Clemson game? Did you see it as lopsided as it was? Not just an upset, but a program altering meltdown.
Boy, I got to tell you, the way that Clemson started that game was they lost the game. They lost the game in the first half. They got within a bucket at the end, but they McNeese hit their free throws down the stretch. It was over. And it was over right away. I mean, it was one of these games. They were close to setting a record for the fewest points scored in a half. I guess Wisconsin, and I'm talking about in the shot clock era. The shot clock came in what was it, 1985. So you look at what happened in that game. They had three players who missed multiple shots, did not score in the first half. They had one guy that hit a couple of baskets. They scored 13 points. They were down 31-13 at halftime. It was just incredible the way they couldn't get a bucket. And I get it, they got rushed. But 5 of 24 shooting, 1 of 15 from three-pointers in the first half of that game. They lost the game. They just came out and lost the game in the first half. That was all it was. And then, you know, they come roaring back, but you're just too big a hole. Never got close. I mean, they obviously got close, but never threatened to win that game.
Punched right in the mouth, right off the bat. McNeese was dunking, and they were having a blast.
Wow.
And it probably is going to end up that the five guys you saw out there the most of the time for McNeese, you will see next year in a different uniform with the coach with a different pullover. And all kidding aside, Clemson, as Mully pointed out, had 13 points at the half. I told my guy Fryer next to me this morning they should have stopped the game at half. Clemson should not. They should have. We're sorry. We apologize for what you just had to go through, fans. Hot dogs and sodas are now a dollar at the concession stand. And whoever we had for halftime entertainment, we're going to have them again. We're going to have an extended halftime. And then we're going to put the TVs of all the other games that are worthwhile watching on the scoreboard here. And we're just going to pencil in McNeese State moving forward. And they can all jump around here at halftime and celebrate. And then we're going to watch games that are actually not detrimental to the game of basketball.
Hmm. That's quite a thing you told your guy Fryer there next to you. It took a while. It took half the pregame show probably talking about that game.
Well, we do have a 7-minute break.
That's good. And you fill it well. So I have no sympathy for Clemson. They weren't ready to play. I was impressed by being in the state, and I didn't want to be. I did not want to look at that team and say, wow, they look like they are responding to everything about the tournament in the way that you want teams to respond to having their moment, their one shining moment, if you will. That was theirs. Also, take the team to North Carolina State. Take all your players, Will Wade. Go away sooner rather than later. But leave the manager, the guy carrying the boombox, the 5'7" Amir, right? That's Amir Khan.
Yeah.
Carrying the boombox, that was one of the most fun highlights on day one. Nothing on the court, but leading the team out, and they came out with a swagger. They can play with confidence, and it's a powerful thing in March. A team that plays with confidence and plays loose can do special things. McNeese State was that team yesterday, and it was a great commercial for North Carolina State basketball, too. I probably still would not have let him coach, but that's a different discussion, and I don't want it to diminish exactly what the players did on the floor. So Clemson didn't show up. McNeese State rose to the occasion, and that was the best game. That was the best, most surprising game of day one.
Right.
I still love the fact that Arkansas beat Kansas.
First of all, great question.
How do you think Illinois will fare tonight against Xavier? And which game are you more interested, Illinois, Xavier, or Porter Moser in Oklahoma? You just heard Porter there. And UConn with the tournament return for Porter Moser.
Well, selfishly, I have to say that I follow Illinois basketball. We have a lot of respect for the program, but I'm very curious about Porter Moser going back to the second round if he's able to get Oklahoma to beat Danny Hurley. I'm very intrigued by that game. I think it's one of the more fun first-round matchups between coaches. And that will be a difficult way to divide time if both are playing at the same time. And I think they do. I think they're going to be...
They're separated by 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, none of this is right on the number.
There'll be a lot of creative ways to figure out how to follow both. But Illinois, yes, they can win. Yes, they have Yakushonis, and yes, they have a team that can guard, and yes, they have Brad Underwood, who's got a good program going there. But it's also they're playing a hot Xavier team with the coach who knows something about March himself. I want to be optimistic. I'll stay optimistic. I think Illinois will win in a close game, but it will be fun to watch, and I will be dividing my attention because tonight I'll also be rooting for the Sooners. Go Sooners.
I have a daddy-daughter dance tonight, and I'm happy to have it because, as you guys know, time with your kids goes by way too fast, so I'm not pouting, I'm not complaining, I'm actually cheerleading for it. And those games, as David mentioned, are on 20 minutes apart. And then the Marquette game also, I think, is very interesting. That's at 6:25, so a great window going with a Marquette alum and a Illinois alum. But how about this? The line, Illinois is favored by 3.5. The total, though, is what sticks out, 160. I mean, so they are expecting fireworks that game. That is a ton of points. Porter is getting 5.5, David. Porter's getting 5.5 in that game. I think Porter Moser's a great story. I'm sick of UConn. I'm sick of their coach. He didn't have the guts to tell his wife, I'm going to go take the Lakers job and make generational wealth. You can fly back and
forth. I'm so glad he did,
whenever
though.
You want to.
I'm so glad he
so you did. Like, you'd rather have J.J. Redick out there with LeBron?
Yes.
It would have been much more drama with that guy and LeBron. I mean, can you imagine that going on? That would have been so good for us from storyline standpoint.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think it's a great story to hear a coach whine every night.
Well, it's always good to play that kind of audio. So we'll see what he's saying after Oklahoma and Porter Moser hopefully beat them.
Yes!
Yeah, I really am hoping Porter does well, and I'm hoping they win this game. I told you, I feel, I don't know how it came over me, but I just sort of had a, I just felt like, okay, the Big Ten is answering the bell. And Illinois is going to be there tomorrow, and everything's going to be fine. I just had this moment of clarity yesterday while I was watching the end of the Michigan game where I thought, Illinois is going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. So I feel like Illinois is going to beat Xavier, and I think that's a good thing to feel. And I've been very uncertain about Illinois. I think they're one of the more difficult teams for me to figure out. It doesn't mean they're impossible to figure out. I just was struggling with it because I thought that their Sweet 16 run kind of came on the back of one guy, and he's no longer in the program. But I think they've done a good job of reloading, and I think he's built a heck of a program there.
Yes, he has.
At Brad Underwood. And I'd like to see him win, and I'd like to see Porter win. I think Porter has a much more difficult task than the Illini do, but I'm a big fan, and I hope he wins.
And I remember the question was...
That's the voice of Mike DeCourcy talking college hoops with Mike at 8 o'clock. All right, let's move over to some baseball. How concerned are you to see the White Sox righty Drew Thorpe exit a minor league game with soreness in his pitching elbow? Thorpe, just 24, top prospect acquired in the Dylan Cease trade. He's also part of the Juan Soto trade to the Yankees. Had season-ending surgery last September to go. Got a late start to training camp and needing cortisone shot in late January. The White Sox pitching has been riddled with injuries. What's up? How concerned are you about all this pitching issues with the White Sox?
Yeah, I think I've been concerned with the pitching for the White Sox all along. You know, as bad as they were a year ago, Garrett Crochet was an all-star as a starting pitcher. And they also they got a really good performance from your man from Korea, who came in, Eric Fetty, and had a good year. I don't see that right now, and I don't know what to expect. It just feels like they've had a lot of injuries, right? I mean, they've had, what, four different guys have to undergo Tommy John surgery already this year. I was hoping that Drew Thorpe was going to be a building block for this team and was going to be a guy. You know, he was the minor league player of the year in 2023, and then he has to have the surgery last year, and you hope he's back and they're getting him stretched out, and then he has to leave with a you know, what was the surgery he had last year? They like shaved off a bone in the bicep. Remember that? It was like a really weird kind of injury where they did something kind of radical to help his arm. If he's the number one guy out of that Dylan Cease trade and he loses another year, I mean, it just tells you a lot about prospects. The best pitcher in minor league baseball is potentially unavailable for 2 years running. And again, I might be overreacting because they're going to give you an update on it, but when a guy leaves with soreness in his pitching elbow, no gouda.
White Sox fans, just remember the following names: Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, Grant Taylor.
Right.
Your pitching is bright.
Come back.
Let's
in 3 years.
Focus on that. Take a ride down to Birmingham this summer.
Well, I think that when you look at the Sox, it's all about the pitching. And so some of these injuries are probably part of every organization's plight when you're dealing with arms and the velocity and the way things have gone. But the biggest one is Drew Thorpe, because he came in the Cease trade and he's been part of two big trades now, and you wonder what this does to his development if he loses another year. And not to, I guess that's jumping to a conclusion.
Yes.
That isn't necessarily one you want to jump to, but when you motion for your trainer before this inning even starts, it means that the pitcher, the player, knows something's wrong. So hopefully it is something that will be minor or a hiccup, as Will Constable alluded to. But the bigger news I think the White Sox would like to focus on, if they're trying to stay positive, is that the emergence of Shane Smith, getting the news that he's going to be on the White Sox. He made the team, and he's going to be in that rotation. And Davis Martin, and yesterday they get Martin Perez, and all the things that they're trying to stay positive about, pitching is at the forefront of that. Now, it's difficult to balance the injuries with the optimism, but they're going to hopefully stay healthy with the rotation, so they and consistent with the guys that they're counting on to get off to a respectable start. I'm most concerned about the rotation, not necessarily the health, but the consistency of Jonathan Cannon. I think he took a step back in spring training. We were expecting him to. It's almost like we anointed him a spot or awarded him a spot in the rotation, but he really didn't earn it.
No.
He didn't earn it. He earned it on basis of what he did last year in the second half.
We tried to give the guy the opening
day. We wanted
day
him
start.
To be the opening day starter. Here you go, son. Seize the opportunity. And it slipped through his fingers. So I wonder what he is going to be like early part of the season. He's still got a lot of potential, but I wouldn't say he had a good spring. So hopefully the Sox can get some consistent pitching, because they have to be consistent at something.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's the voice of Ron Coomer. He'll be here at 9 from spring training. And at this point of spring training, how should the 0-2 Cubs handle the weekend schedule of games back in Arizona? Rest, fundamentals. How would you set up the rotation at this point?
They're back, right? We have not seen the plane land. They're back
they've
in
landed.
Arizona.
They've
okay.
Landed. They've made moves, roster moves.
Yeah. Well, I know roster moves, but they are at that awkward phase of spring training. They're back and they're sort of recovering and rested. Boy, it's a long trip. That was a terrible flight. And we were 0-2. Do we take a nap or do we go back to the backfields and work on ground balls and throwing to first? What do you do? I don't know. It's the awkward phase. When you go out there, what are you working on? It's a very strange dynamic. You're in the tweener phase of spring training. You open again on Thursday.
Yeah.
You better take extra batting practice because that Diamondback pitching rotation is trouble. Who's going to start? Is Gage Workman, did he make the trip back? Forget about him?
Is he going to make the team?
Is he going to make the team? All kinds of possibilities. The pitching moves they made yesterday, a little bit interesting, but I would align my rotation this way. Justin Steele is starting against Arizona on Thursday, right? He got that news a long time ago. And I would probably stagger him and Shota. I wouldn't go lefty-lefty. I would go Tyone game two. And then I would go Shota, Boyd. Then who's your fifth starter? Colin Ray? Is Big Ben Brown? What's he going to?
It's not Jordan Wicks.
Not Jordan Wicks. A little disappointed there?
A little surprised.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
At the timing of it,
right? Here's the thing. I'm a little surprised that I'm surprised by Cubs' decisions at this stage of the season. We're a week in, and there have been some things that have not less.
Who is it that – is it Brad Keller? Is he
– Brad Keller has some options, too.
Yeah.
They got to make a choice on him.
And you know what that means? That means your guy, Ben Brown, could be down in Iowa.
Iowa's going to have –
because he has a million options, Ben Brown. Yes. Like, I mean, he's not going to stay down there the whole time. But you're right. He probably doesn't pitch against the Diamondbacks.
Think about
Ben
that.
Brown,
now, right? Now you're going to think about that. The pitcher that you went to
– that's my issue.
The pitcher that you went to in a big moment in Japan – is the guy that's good enough to start the season at Iowa.
Wow.
It's like you genuflected. It's like Lovie Smith in the Super Bowl, genuflecting. I'll be back, so we'll just –
no, come on,
we'll
I made a good point.
One,
I didn't
we'll
make a quantum leap like
mentor.
That.
We'll just give this one to my mentor.
I didn't say that.
I did.
I want that point not associated with me.
I did. I still feel that way. I'll be back. I'll give this one to Tony because we'll be back.
Okay.
Whoops. The hitters should hit. What I'm really curious about is today. Now, the Coomer and Zach are going to be on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday here on The Score. But the Cubs do play a spring training game today against the Diamondbacks. And I'm very curious, like, will any regulars be in that game? They need at bats. I mean, we're talking about fundamentals. I think Birdie, he's not going to forget that moment. He probably got caught up in the adrenaline of the moment, and it's also part of the script to make sure the Dodgers and Ohtani won all the games in Japan, part of like the WWE script, written word for word by Rob Manfred. So the hitters need to hit, and the pitchers need to pitch. And because, David, to your point, how they handled things in Japan, then they better keep everybody on exactly the schedule it's supposed to be. Because you screwed around and went to the wrong guy, and that's not why they lost. It's not Ben Brown's fault that they lost the first game. They can't hit. So everybody needs to take at-bats. That's what needs to happen. Focus on getting at-bats.
I hate to break this to you, Dustin, but I don't believe that they were following a script. I believe they weren't good enough to beat the Dodgers. I believe that you're giving them a break by saying it was all arranged so they'd lose to the Dodgers, and they went along with it. I think they didn't play well enough to beat the
Dodgers. Didn't hit. They did not hit at all.
So I would have people hitting. I would definitely have people hitting. I would be careful about my pitching, and I would make sure that no one kind of fell out of form or managed to get into form for some people, Justin Steele. But I would... I would be very conscious of where your shortcomings were, and I would say back to fundamentals and make sure you get your swings in and get yourself prepared for when the games really do count and they're going to be coming one after the other now. You're not going to get any more weeks off to overcome the Japan trip. So it is very important that they get some good work in here, and I think that there are still, what's going on with Nico? When are we going to find out whether he's back or not? And if he is,
he's supposed to be back.
Well, then what are you going to do with the roster? Is Gage Workman making this team, or is he going back to Detroit? That's still a possibility. Hard for Rule 5 guys to make teams, most teams. Usually, if you have a pretty good team, it's really difficult to get a Rule 5 guy. But he's been exceptional. So we'll see how that blows out, too.
I've answered this question, a lot, obviously.
That's the voice of Connor Bedard. You're going to hear him again in a minute. What's your reaction to Connor Bedard's sit-down with Tony Granato on CHSN?
We all appreciate everything. We know it's, like you said, they're coming to the rink and they're supporting. And, no matter where we are in the standings, we go to the game, it's loud, it's energetic. And, I love playing here. I love being in the city. And, I feel so fortunate to get to be here every day. And, we're going to keep getting better. And I think they should be excited. It's a cool time. And, I think all the Chicago sports, you see what the Bears are doing and stuff. And it's an exciting time. So just keep cheering us on and we're going to give it our all.
A thankful Connor Bedard with Tony Granato on CHSN. How would you describe Bedard's state of mind after hearing that audio?
I think he said the right stuff. I think he definitely, that's what you want to hear from a young man living in Chicago and playing for the Blackhawks. I don't know that that's actually how he feels. I think he probably is grateful, but I think the guy is like the equivalent of a gym rat. Is that a rink rat? I don't know what you'd call it. But he's a guy that just wants to play hockey, and he wants to play well, and he wants to win. And he's been hung out to dry a little bit here. Now, I think we can sympathize with it, and we can understand what's happened. I find it odd. I find it odd that that Danny Wirtz last week came out and said something, was it this week or last week, where he talked about how the fans know what's going on and the team's getting better and they can sense that it's getting better. They don't seem like they're getting better. Like they need a new coach in here who's going to bring out the best in everyone, and they need to invest in better talent around Connor Bedard and not just wait for people to show up, because his career is ongoing and it's not going the way you want it to. Let's be honest about that. So get the right coach in here, spend some money on some players. You don't have to, you can use the young guys and all of that. You want them to grow together, but you also need help here. And it's not forthcoming, and it needs to, because you run the risk. I don't think you're going to lose the kid, but these are bad habits and there are bad things going on with the Blackhawks. So how did he sound there? He sounds great. His mentality sounds great. He knows about the city. He knows the Bears are making moves. I think he'd like to see some moves from the Blackhawks.
We talked earlier in the week about whether or not Bedard was broken, and didn't sound like a guy that's broken.
No.
And the other part is that he's scored in back-to-back games. That's good news.
Yeah, that's good news. Two power play goals, two games in a row. The Hawks are losing, though, six in a row. And their morale is probably at a season low. So that's not good. I thought in that context, Connor Bedard sounded as well as you could have hoped. Tony Granato kind of gave him a comfortable voice, and he is a hockey guy talking to a hockey guy. And I loved when Connor Bedard reminded everybody about the process. The process. And yes, the process is going to take maybe longer than people would like. And it's been a long time since they've had playoff hockey at the United Center. And the Blackhawks have a long way to go. And this season's been longer than expected. The good news is Bedard needed that interview to remind people that he's still sane, that he's still on the right track mentally, that he's not broken, and he did a nice job of that. The best, biggest takeaway from that interview, which was worth your time on CHSN, it's like he said they're going to look back at this one day, this core of talent that he says they're growing together. They're bonding over this. Misery loves company, and it's been a miserable stretch at times of hockey this season. And these young players, at one point in time, will will be better for this. And I think they have to have a big summer. They need to go out and spend and try to get a guy like a Mitch Marner. Connor Bedard needs two high-quality veteran forwards to be alongside him on a line that matters. When they do that, you'll start to see more progress in the process, and the process will be closer to a winning team. Hey?
Well, no, that's a good question.
What did you think of the unusual matchup between the Bulls and their former, I didn't write the question, dynamic duo of Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan? Who's missed more in town? How about none of the above?
There's no reason to be dismissive of the former dynamic duo because they were dynamic as a duo. There's nothing really controversial or even worth, I can't even believe I'm wasting breath on this, Dustin. You made this question into a diss, and it's not. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan were dynamic together. They were as Bulls, correct? Is that even arguable?
Yesterday, we talked about the best backcourt of recent Bulls memory, and your guy didn't even make your backcourt.
Well, they weren't necessarily...
Shooting guard.
Yeah, it's shooting guard. It's they play kind of the wing. It's but together, they were good. But the Bulls didn't win enough games, but DeMar DeRozan was a joy to watch. And there are times when Zach LaVine was the same guy, and I felt like them together... It's hard to believe they're on the same team, averaging the same amount of points and having very similar situations in Sacramento that they enjoyed in Chicago. It was weird to see them on the court together against the Bulls rather than for the Bulls. DeMar had his 22. Zach LaVine had a bad night. I don't know if it was because he was pressing against his former teammates. Did you see DeMar DeRozan went in the Bulls locker room after the game? Was that okay with you, him hugging Billy?
I'm not a Sacramento Kings fan, so sure.
Okay.
I miss DeMar DeRozan. 22 points. Zach LaVine, 8 points, 2 for 9 from the field, and he did play 33 minutes. 33 minutes. Not dynamic, not worth max money, Zach LaVine.
This is a difficult one because you can't say anything without dissing someone. I'm glad those guys are gone. I'm glad that era in Bulls basketball is over. I didn't particularly enjoy it. I enjoyed the initial bit of it when they had everybody together and they were playing really well and everything seemed to be going correctly. And DeMar had a year where he made so many clutch shots. It was incredible. But I wouldn't want either guy back now. I think they're moving on and I think they have to move on. I don't want to diss them. I don't want to say that they didn't have good games or they weren't, you know, a good value when they were here. But I do feel like that time's over. And frankly, it's a little bit of a relief to have moved beyond that team. And, you know, the more you can do to keep that process going, I think the happier everybody will be. And I mean, I'm done with Vooch and I'm done with Lonzo Ball. And I just kind of
forgot he was even
them.
Here still.
Yeah, he's still here.
He's out for the season.
I know. But I just want to move on. That's all I'm saying. So I know I'm supposed to be more nostalgic than that. But, you know, I'm glad that game's over and we can move on with our lives.
was it paralyzing you?
No. No, but I'm
did just, it stall you mentally, emotionally?
I guess what I mean is that era. I'm just glad that's right. All done. I hate to say it, but that's kind of where they left you. Not them necessarily, but the organization, the whole thing. Just got to try something else.
It is it an organization?
Organization. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
The process. The process.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What will the overall theme of the tournament be Monday morning when we're all back together?
That's tough because there's never one overarching theme that defines the entire tournament, but some of the bigger takeaways will be Cooper Flagg is back. Duke is the favorite because he'll probably look very good. They'll probably look very solid. So I think Duke will be reestablished if there was any uncertainty at all surrounding them. I think by Monday morning after the second round, I'm not sure the Cinderella is going to be invited anywhere this tournament. I'm not sure there's going to be any team like that if it's a profile. Cinderella's staying home this March. And I think we'll probably have fewer SEC teams than people anticipated when the tournament began. You start with 14, you whittle that down. I just don't think that it's trending that direction. Could be wrong. And then the other takeaway will probably be it will be fun to have some of the old guard still represented. And you'll have the Izzo, you'll have Pitino. Pitino, if he has St. John's started slow, finished strong. But in those kind of guys, and there could be another one that emerges, you'll have some old guard type coaches, dyed in the wool college football or college basketball coaches that are always there in March. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. And hopefully it'll be dramatic over the weekend, more dramatic than yesterday was, because having one upset to really hold your attention it was fun, but you want more.
I probably agree with you, David. I don't know that we're going to come in here and everybody's going to be like, can we do a Sweet 16 bracket, meaning that everybody's brackets are busted. But I am going to predict this. I'm going to predict that the theme might be, because there was a record-setting number of teams from the SEC, 14 put in, I think that we're going to find out tomorrow specifically that teams were misseeded. I am going to predict that both number one seeds tomorrow are going to be pushed. Houston is going to be pushed by Gonzaga. Creighton is going to push Auburn. And your game of the day, David, I think Arkansas is going to push St. John's as a number two seed. So I'm saying is that I think you just got one of the themes might be, while it is chalkity chalk 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 on Monday, and that might be everybody feeling all chesty because their bracket's in pretty decent shape, I think there's going to be a lot of sweats on Saturday night.
I think we're looking at a new champion. I think that, it'd be great if Porter could take care of UConn, but they're not getting past Florida. I would be really surprised if UConn could actually put together a couple of wins in this tournament. I just think that Florida is too good a team. I think that I think that three-peat ends, and we're looking for a new champion for the first time in, 3 years?
That would be welcome news.
Yeah, I agree. I also think that I'm very curious to see how the Big Ten does. I'm not sure about the ACC. I don't know that there isn't more trouble to follow. And you're right about there's just too many teams from the SEC. So someone's going down.
It'd be very funny, very amusing to find North Carolina still alive Monday morning, having to have everybody look at if they make a run and win a couple games after winning the play-in game that nobody thought they belonged in.
It certainly is conceivable. It's not beyond the pale, but I don't know how much farther they'd go.
How good's Ole Miss?
Than that. Ole Miss is a pretty good team. Iowa State is a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be interesting to see. You know, certainly the three seed there is Iowa State.
What about Lipscomb?
I don't think
Lipscomb.
I don't believe
that. You don't want to take anybody for granted.
Lipscomb is what you do when you've got like that, who's that? Young actor who was Bob Dylan. That guy had he needed a lip comb because he didn't really have a mustache.
A lip comb? You mean you have that? So that actually is a noun, a different kind of noun.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, okay.
Right. But, you know, I mean, I loved the tournament yesterday, and I think it's going to be tons of fun today. And then I think we'll start getting some clarity. And I think you're right. This is going to be a fairly chalky tournament. I think that's pretty obvious. Because even, these upset teams, is McNeese now going to go on a run? I don't think so. Is Drake going on a run? No.
I don't think they are.
I mean,
they've got to beat Texas Tech. That's going to be difficult to do.
Could they do it? Yeah, I love
the
way they play.
They're hitting the threes, yeah.
I love the way they play. They don't really hit threes, though. They just kind of...
But things have changed so much. You used to be able to find teams in the tournament that were together for 2, 3, 4 years.
Yes.
And they're coming together, and the culmination of that was a run in the George Masons of the world, the VCUs of the world.
Yes.
Well, nowadays, it's more like, well, even those teams that are mid-major like have mined the portal. They came together for the first time a year ago, and it's not because they don't have the same kind of continuity or chemistry that some of those other teams that we're referencing before did.
We talked fondly about Loyola when they made that run to the Final Four. You know, Milton was their best player. He graduated, and they had a team that had been together with him, and they all of a sudden were a better team. Everybody was better than they had been, and they kind of grew together as one. It was so much fun to watch.
Lo, those many years ago, 7.
Yeah, may as well. Seems like it's a decade. Those 7 years feel like 10. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Wiggins will pop a three. It's good! One out of two. Hunter. Zachary, he'll put up a three. No good. Rebound, a scramble. Hunter has it. Hunter at the buzzer. It's good, but Cowboy up. McNeese. Cowboy, baby.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yeah, I mean, it looked closer than it was, let's be honest.
Yeah, it did. I mean, they were up 31-13 at halftime.
Yeah,
I have to admit, I don't like the way that Will Wade handled the public nature of taking the job and all that stuff at North Carolina State. I can't help but have a little bit of fascination with this story, though, because of what it is. Did you see Pat Forty wrote about this? They talked a little bit about on the broadcast. The school president, this is all part of his 2-year plan. He had a 2-year plan. Use basketball to build interest in the school, McNeese State. They've already driven up applications. They have raised the profile, and they gave him 2 years, essentially, to do that. It's only 6,200 students down in Louisiana.
Oh, is that where it is?
And they
did it. I thought McNeese was its own state. We've been offering statehood all over the place. I didn't know if McNeese took him up on it.
It's just funny that it was it's Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to see that kind of reaction and that kind of impact on a school of only 6,200 students. So the president is there hugging people, wearing cowboy boots, predicting to somebody after the game, you know what would be great? If our website crashed. Shortly thereafter, the school's website crashed. So that's March Madness. It's calling your shot. It's their one shining moment. I hope they enjoy it. I don't like the process, but I do think that it's one of those March moments that you think, wow, that's pretty cool.
Purdue in trouble?
Yeah, I think they are. They got a guard. You know, McNeese State just beat Clemson. Not only beat them, but the first half was lopsided.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Because they were ready to play. They got that boombox ready. They got their defense ready.
They came out of the locker room like a boxer going into the ring.
Yes, yes. And they were Mike Tyson.
Yes.
Just walking out there, and we're going to take your best shot, and we're going to punch and knock you out. We're going to hit you in the face, and you're going to have a plan, and then I'm going to hit you in the face again.
Yeah.
So Purdue cannot take this team lightly. I don't think Matt Painter's team will. They have an opportunity, but I don't think it would be wise to underestimate this group.
Big Ten 4-team parlay pays. Based on what happened yesterday, Big Ten advances, survives and advances. Michigan, I think, was favored by 2 in the hook. Mm-hmm. So they won by the hook. Everybody won and covered. And now today, you got to feel good about the Big Ten because you got Michigan State against Chris Bryant, just the one man.
I like Michigan State there.
I think who doesn't?
Obviously.
I think you got Maryland against Grand Canyon.
Mm.
There is a chasm between those two teams.
Yes, it's a wide gap indeed.
Yeah.
But so, I think that Bryce Drew's team out in Grand Canyon is one you don't want to underestimate either.
But number 4, Maryland, and they've got like a really good player against number 13 Grand Canyon. I would like those odds. You've got the
Oregon Liberty.
Against Liberty.
5-12. I don't know about that one.
Always trouble.
Oregon's playing
well.
And
then you got the Illini, the lowest seed of the group at 6. And they're playing Xavier, who had to win to get in.
Had to win to get in, and I think, is the right way to put it.
Yeah.
I often wonder, just like we see in other examples of wild card teams in the NFL, or we talked about it during the college football playoff, teams that did not have a bye. When you have to win to get in, I wonder if you're coming in hot. I wonder if that's an advantage.
It's worthy to wonder about
because
it, but I can't remember, unlike MLB or what, I can't remember a team going on a roll and winning the NCAAs after being in the play-in game.
Well, not like that, but you do go on a run, and you can win a couple games that way. You're not going to win at all, but you can put things together and play with confidence that you accrue by winning games that people don't think you should be there. So Xavier, not to be underestimated, but I still think that Illinois can beat them.
They beat Texas.
Yes, so, Xavier beat Texas. Then Texas fired its coach.
Yeah.
So the coach killers.
Texas in the SEC.
Xavier, the coach killers. They're the Musketeers, but they're really the coach killers.
The Musketeers. That is an antiquated term.
What is?
A Musketeer.
There's only three of them.
We don't have that many of them. Not Musketeers. Oh. All right. 312-644-6767. More upsets today? You feel like we're settling into some chalky sort of results here? Or is there a team that that people aren't talking about?
And are you going to Milwaukee to see Illinois play? You're going to drive up 94. You're going to see north of the Cheddar Curtain and see the Illini.
North of the Cheddar Curtain. Just barely. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.